gestern.
Ja, praise the Lord.
Ich wollte auch noch kurz einen Punkt noch einmal herausbringen bezüglich des Vorhofs.
I wanted to bring up another point concerning the outer court. And wanted to show you the picture again that we had yesterday.
Den ganzen Bereich der Stiftshütte außen herum, die Abgrenzung.
And here you see the enclosure for the outer court.
Ich weiß nicht, ob ihr meine Maus, wie sie Hand seht, weil ich nicht sicher. Ach, doch, ja. Okay, sehr gut. Genau. Innen drin sehen wir das Heilige.
Inside we see the holy place, sanctuary, the temple itself where he lives. And here we see the most holy place.
Ich finde, das ist Gottes Anordnung von dieser Stiftshütte ist wirklich.
And the way he arranged this tabernacle is according to his holiness. And I thought a little bit more about how the tabernacle is constructed. And it showed me again the main point that this outer court is so large in proportion to the rest is because he wants all of his people to come and keep the feasts in the outer court, that they can all come and keep the feasts with him. That's why there's so much space in this outer court compared to the parts of the holy place and the most holy place. Thank the Lord that he wants us to enjoy him as the true feast. And that's why there's place for his whole people. It's out of his love for his people that he has given us so much space in the outer court. But on the other hand, God wants as many of us as possible to come forward, because God does not dwell in the outer court. He dwells in the most holy place. And his call to us is to come forward, to serve him in the holy place, and then to have fellowship with the living God in the most holy place. So the holy place and the Holy of Holies, they are much smaller than the outer court, because outside there is place for all the people of God. But in the holy place, there's only space for the priests, for the few who are prepared to serve him as priests. This shows that God wants all of us actually to come forward, and he actually wants all of us to come forward to him in the holiest of holies. But not everyone wants to come into the holy place to serve him, not to speak of the most holy place. Matthew 22:14. For many are called, but few are chosen. So many have been called to keep the feast with God in the outer court, but few have been chosen to have fellowship with him in the Holy of Holies and to serve him in the holy place. Not because he has certain preferences and he chooses certain people to come in, but rather because the decision depends on us. Do we really want to serve him as priests? Do we want to be those who don't just stay outside, but want to come forward into the holy place and into the Holy of Holies? Praise the Lord that we can be here before the Lord and at this conference with the desire not to just stay outside. We want to come forward and serve him as priests in the holy place and in the Holy of Holies. It is a privilege to be in Zion, a privilege to serve him in the innermost part of this tabernacle. Thank you for this precious picture. But of course, on the other hand, is what we saw yesterday, that the outer court is so big in proportion to the rest of the tabernacle because it shows and corresponds to our body. Also shows that our body is so thick, so big, and that's why sometimes it's hard to break through it, and that's why we need the copper. This copper is the judgment that he bore for us so that we can apply it and let our bodies be sanctified so that with our bodies we can magnify Christ. So I thank the Lord very much for this picture. On the one hand, it shows us where the people can come together and keep the feast, but also with a call to enter in into we reach the Holy of Holies. And the other aspect is that the outer court represents our body to magnify Christ.
Lobt den Herrn. Amen.
Amen. Wir loben dich, Herr Jesus.
Yeah, we praise you, Lord, for this entire picture. We pray also for your word this morning, that you would speak to us. Anoint our brother and anoint each one of us. Reveal to us more about the burnt offering altar and everything that corresponds to it. Lord, first and foremost, lead us into all the reality. Yeah, thank you, Lord, that you speak to us in these days. Oh, Lord, we praise you for this picture and open the inner eyes of our heart. Lord, we don't just want to know it and understand it in our minds, but we want to see it and enter into the experience. Oh, Lord, sanctify us completely until you come. Lord, we praise you. Yeah, praise the Lord for such a picture that the Lord has shown us. It's a wonderful picture in the tabernacle. And I hope that through the conference, we wouldn't just understand what it means, but we would dream about it. It is really should be something where we close our eyes and we see it before us, and we can really enter in, even in our thoughts. Because the Lord shows us what it means to perfect holiness, what it means to stand before God. We know that when he comes, we all have to stand before him and give an account. So how can this really work if we don't learn to be sanctified today? And because we are priests, we also have to learn to be holy so that we can enter in and serve him. Yesterday was good to see how the Lord wants to sanctify our whole being, body, soul, and spirit. We have spoken a lot about our soul and our spirit, but our body is also important. Of course, it is an earthen vessel, so it is actually just dust and ashes. So, and that's why we don't care so much about our bodies or make a big deal out of it. But if we want to be sanctified, we also have to be cleansed. 2 Timothy 2.
2 Timotheus 2, Vers 20.
Verse 20, 2 Timothy 2:20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. There are two vessels. One is earthly, and the other one is made of precious materials, gold and silver. We are all earthen vessels in our nature. But in verse 21 says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. Praise the Lord, our body is important, after all. Yeah, it should be sanctified and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work.
Deshalb ist unser für die Priester auch an der Priesterweihe sieht man auch, dass ihr Leib.
And at the consecration of the priests, they had to put the blood on their ear, the tip of their ear, on their right thumb and on their right toe, big toe.
Ja, es war genau, wurde genauso behandelt wie.
So the body was treated in the same way as the altar, as the utensils.
So,
our body isn't there for us to be able to do whatever we want to do, but it is also sanctified and belongs to the Lord. And if we also sanctify our bodies, then we will also be useful for the Master.
Auch die Früchte des Geistes. Es ist nicht nur. Ich habe oft gedacht, ja, Frucht des Geistes, das ist irgendwo im Herzen und verborgen.
Fruits of the Spirit. I thought, okay, it's something hidden in my heart. But if you look at the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit, it actually has to do a lot with our bodies and what we do with them. And things that come out and are expressed. This relates truly to our body. Thank the Lord, he wants to sanctify us completely. And this morning, we also want to continue.
Mein Bildschirm. Und zwar, ja, wir sehen hier wieder die Stiftshütte, die Übersicht.
So here we see the overview of the tabernacle. And yesterday we spoke a lot about the outer court, the pillars, the hangings of linen, the enclosure.
Und ja, es gibt aber nicht nur eine Mauer hier.
But there's not just a wall, but there's also a door. Praise the Lord for this.
Nur eine Mauer und nur ein Zaun, das wär,
having just a fence or a wall
ist nötig, aber es wär auch nicht
is necessary, but having only that would not be good. There's a door that's also required.
Wie eine Mauer.
God is.
In der Gemeinde, das ist auch nicht gut.
It would be bad if there would only be a wall in the church life and no door.
Kurz gesagt,
so. Who is the door? Christ is the door. Just as everything else in the tabernacle, it is Christ. The Lord says he is the door for the sheep, and through him we have access to the Father.
Genau, ich lese mal Hebräer 10.
Hebrews 10.
Ist jetzt der Bildschirm frei. Hebräer 10, Vers 19.
Hebrews 10, 19.
Und 20.
And 20.
19 und 20.
Hebrews 10, 19 and 20. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil that is his flesh.
Amen. Ja. Durch den Vorhang, das ist.
Through the veil, that is his flesh.
Ja. Dieser Vorhang.
This veil is the Lord himself, his flesh.
Ja. Und die Frage ist bei uns,
and the question is,
es gibt verschiedene Türen.
That there are various doors. We live. In your own house or in your own apartment, there are various doors, and they're all somewhat different. And depending on the door, you will enter into different places. So, and the doors are also different in a presidential palace, And in your house or the cathedral, there's another door. And in a school building, there's another type of door. If you go to some administrative building, there's also a type of door there. So everything has a different type of door. The question is, what type of door does the church have? What kind of door do we have? Many try to draw people through many different things. You have a school door where you can study, learn things. Or a door like an entrance into a club or to a party. There are many ways Christians use to try to draw and invite people. Of course, a door should be inviting. But how? We shouldn't have a door or make an entrance. Sorry, he's going to share his screen now. We shouldn't put a curtain or a veil here that looks like an entrance into a party, but it has to be Christ.
Because it's
not any house, it is the house of God. The veil, that is his flesh. Through his flesh. Through the Lord, as man, we can really see the Father. That's why there are so many different materials. There's white linen, there's blue, there's purple, there's scarlet. There's so many different colors, so many different characteristics that show the Lord, that display him. John 14, verse 6 and 7. Verse 6 and 7. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. Praise the Lord. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. That means with the Lord, through these colors, we see that white represents righteousness. Blue shows his heavenly nature. And the red also shows his redemptive work with the blood. And he says, he who has seen me has seen the Father also. So what kind of door do we have in the church? Is it so narrow, so small that no one dares enter in? At the tabernacle, you see, it is a wide door. It is 30 cubits wide, just as the Lord was on this earth. He really displayed the Father, manifested the Father, and they were drawn by his being. The Father is not someone whom you see first in the most holy place, but you can already see him at the entrance. You see this in the material of the veil. And at all the veils, all the curtains, they are the same colors. It's the same at the entrance into the holy place and into the most holy place. Praise the Lord. May we have such a door in the church life. Or in the church. As the Lord said in the Constitution, So shall our light shine before men, that they may see your good works. And then he doesn't say to praise the Lord, but to praise the Father. So if people see that the nature is heavenly and see the characteristics of the Father in us, maybe they can't really put their finger on it that it's the Father. Maybe they will say, oh, such fine people, such upright people. But actually, it's the characteristic of the Father. Praise the Lord. What's of the Father must also be visible at the entrance.
Möchten wir reingehen.
And now we want to enter in through the entrance. But to enter in, it's also not that easy.
Hier ins Weitergehe. Ist hier außen. Sieht man nochmal die Stiftshütte von oben.
So here's an aerial view again of the tabernacle. Wir möchten jetzt mal hineingehen. And we want to enter in from the outside into the outer court.
Ja, wir haben gestern schon gehört, was draußen ist.
Das we heard yesterday what's outside. It's not so easy to enter in because of the most holy place. That's where God dwells. And outside of the tabernacle, it's exactly the opposite. It's where the unholy people live, where the sin dwells. So to enter in is actually not that easy.
Um das nochmal zu verdeutlichen, in Römer 1.
In Romans 1.
Gibt es eine Beschreibung.
In Romans 1, verse 29, it describes the background. Describes where we've all come from. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them.
Yeah.
Oh Lord.
Das ist unser Zustand.
This is our condition.
In der Umgebung sind wir aufgewachsen.
This is the environment in which we've grown up. It's full of unrighteousness, maliciousness, wickedness, deceit. Yeah, in this world we learn how to deceive one another. Learn to be disobedient to parents, undiscerning, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, boasters, proud. These are all the things that are outside of the tabernacle. And this is the condition of mankind. And God has said, he wants to dwell among us, walk among us. He wants to put his tabernacle on the earth and dwell among his people. But if his people are comprised of such people, and who not only do these things, but even have pleasure in such things, and approve of those who practice them, then that's not good. This shows us that all these things are under God's judgment, under the righteous judgment of God.
In so einer Umgebung oder einem Dreckloch wohnen, normalerweise.
None of us would want to live in such a place, such a filthy place. If you're looking for a place to live, you look, does it fit for us? Do we have good neighbors? Is it a good neighborhood? But God wants to dwell among man. And wants us to enter in to him. But it's not so easy. If this is the condition out of which we have to come. In Romans 3, verse 10, these are verses we often use for the gospel. To show what mankind is like. But I realize this speaks to me and of my condition, our condition, because sin dwells in our flesh. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. And then he describes how, what happens, it says their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues, they have practiced deceit. If you open your mouth wide, a lot of things come out that are in your heart. And the Lord says, nothing good dwells in our hearts. What defiles us is what comes from our hearts, comes from the inside. And the poison of asps is under their lips. We speak so quickly and make a snide comment. And then we realize it was actually poison and it killed. It didn't give life. It was really an arrow full of snide that snide comments that killed the other person. And it says, his mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. I'm very quick to show people where they are wrong. But the word says, we should be slow to wrath and quick to hear. But for us, it's the other way around. Verse 16, destruction and misery are in their ways. If we live in our old man, then we leave behind traces of destruction, as if a tornado had passed through. And verse 19 says that all the world may become guilty before God. So the whole world is guilty before God, is under his judgment. And Ephesians even says that we were sons of wrath.
Wir kommen hier aus diese was wir jetzt gelesen haben, ist alles hier draußen, vor dem Vorhang.
We have come out of everything. Or we are in all these things that are outside the outer court. But we want to enter into the Holy of Holies. How can we enter in? It's not that God says, oh, it's not that bad, I forgive you. No, it requires judgment. It's about being able to fulfill the righteous requirements of God. He can't just forgive us and then let people that are just like those that we just described or saw in the verses, he can't just forgive and let them in. Judgment is described by the copper or bronze in the New King James Version. Everywhere There's copper in the pillar and on the sockets, and also the burnt offering altar. The first thing that you see when you enter into the tabernacle is the burnt offering altar. And it is completely made of copper. Copper shows judgment. Maybe you know the story of the sons of Korah. How they rebelled against God and Moses. And they brought incense. And God judged them in a strong way. The earth opened up and swallowed them up. And fire came to also swallow them. And they fell into the abyss alive, screaming, crying. And then he said, take the bowls of copper that they used for this and flatten them and make them into the altar so we would remember the judgment. If we enter in here, the first thing we see is this great burnt offering altar that shows the entire judgment of God. It's not enough for him to just forgive. We also need his judgments. The burnt offering altar shows that not only do we need judgment, but that Christ bore our judgment. Praise the Lord for this. We cannot carry or bear this judgment because no one would then enter into the outer court. But that's why Christ carried our judgment, bore our judgment. And we have to grasp this inwardly. We have to imagine that this, so many animals were sacrificed here. There was so much blood that was shed. It's actually not a nice scene or a nice view. So many animals that were slaughtered and so much blood. And this should also give us an impression of how severe this judgment was that Christ bore for us. Amen. Isaiah 53:4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Amen. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. Mm-hmm. And by his stripes we were healed. Yeah, he took it upon himself. That's why this chastisement, this judgment, had we carried it and borne it, it would have meant death for us. It would have been our end. But he took it upon himself. He bore it. He carried our sorrows. So if we look at this altar again, we see that this altar is quite large. Here's a picture where you can see the size a bit better, the relation. This is about 1.5 meters high. And it's 5 by 5 cubits. It's more than 2 meters. And if you look at this altar, it's made of acacia wood, overlaid with bronze or copper. No man can carry this alone. this altar is too heavy for one man to carry on his own. But this judgment that he bore for us is so heavy. It says he loaded it upon himself. He carried it upon himself. He really bore the entire judgment of God upon himself. And we see the number 5 is a number of responsibility. So we have a responsibility before God and man. And the requirement that the law puts upon us. But here you see that each side is 5 by 5 cubits, meaning Christ has fully fulfilled the righteous requirements of God. This requirement is nothing that any of us could carry on our own. We fall too short. But every aspect, on every side, Christ fully fulfilled the righteous requirement of God. Praise the Lord for this burnt offering altar. And it has to give us this awareness of what he has carried for us, what he has borne for us, and what he has accomplished for us. But the Lord didn't just, it's not just such an objective thing. But it was about 5 square meters. And everything that needs to be put under God's judgment fits on here. The sin, flesh, the devil. The devil is also judged here. Everything fits onto this altar.
Ja, und jetzt geht es darum, dass diese, die Erfahrung vom Brandopferaltar, dass dieses Gericht jetzt an uns.
So the experience of this burnt offering altar is that this judgment would now be carried out in us. The Lord has accomplished everything. He died for us. He was sacrificed for us. And we think because of that, then we are just fully free. And it is right that he has accomplished everything. And he has opened the way for us. But the question is, what does it have to do with us? Is it just that you believe that he died for me and then I can just march right on it? No, the burnt offering altar shows us the way in which we can enter, through which we enter. And so we see this massive altar, which shows the judgment of God. This experience of the burnt offering altar and the experience of this God's judgment has to become my experience. All these lists that we read before, forgiveness is not sufficient to deal with them. They have to be judged in us that we can be made free from them. Like with someone who was a criminal and committed a severe crime, if he's judged in court and he will, did you commit the crime? He will say, yes, okay, I did it. The judge, would he say, okay, I forgive you, you go home, you can go home. Then the criminal would go back home and do the same thing again. That's why it requires judgment, punishment, like imprisonment, that through this time of judgment and punishment, the person would think about what he has done and would change his behavior. That's why for us today, we don't only need forgiveness, we also need judgment.
Eine weitere Liste in Matthäus 7.
In Mark 7, there's another list. Mark 7.
Markus 7, Vers 20 sicher, dass er.
Mark 7.
Markus 7, Vers 21.
Starting from verse 21.
Denn von innen,
for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man.
Hmm.
That's why we need judgment. We all have forgiveness. He died for all of us. But am I free from covetousness because of that? Does my heart not cling to anything else?
Ja, wenn ich lästere und spotte,
or do I
kann ich jedes Mal
blaspheme?
Und der Herr wird mir vergeben.
Every time I come to the Lord, he will forgive me. But the burnt offering altar shows that it also requires judgment to be fully free from these things, from an evil eye or foolishness. Sometimes there are so many dumb things that come out of my heart. It really requires the judgment of God today, because he wants to make us to holy people, that we wouldn't carry these things with us in our hearts. That's why Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Because he knew he needed this judgment. Praise the Lord that he shows us how we can truly be sanctified. Not just through forgiveness, but the burnt offering altar shows us we need judgment, and everything fits on this altar. And this judgment has to do with us. It has to be carried out in me. Every problem that we have, the world, with our flesh, with ourself, with the old man, all of that has to be dealt with on this altar. Amen. If I don't do this, everything that I have brought in from outside has to be dealt with there. And if I don't do this, and I just let myself go and I just live how I am, I will not be able to enter in. Then, yes, maybe I have entered in because the Lord has saved me, but I would stop here at the altar. But we really need to carry out this judgment in us.
Amen.
Amen.
Ja, und das zeigt auch Römer 8.
And Romans 8 shows us this as well.
Das ist ein wichtiger Vers, der das zusammenfasst.
This summarizes it very well. Romans 8:3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Yeah. He judged sin in the flesh. The Lord, praise the Lord, he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He came in the form of man like us. But what did he do? He condemned sin in the flesh. He judged sin in the flesh. He was like this bronze serpent in the wilderness that was lifted up. He came in the form of man, because the serpent is actually not a positive symbol. But in a similar way, the Lord came in the likeness of sinful flesh, but he condemned sin in the flesh. He judged it. This is what the copper in the burnt offering altar shows us. Copper is like bronze. And this shows us the way that we can be sanctified we also have to condemn sin in the flesh and judge sin in the flesh.
Wenn ich merke, da kommt ein, ja, ein unreiner Gedanke hoch oder ein,
and
ja,
if I realize that an unclean thought comes up within me or something blasphemous, but if I say, Lord Jesus, I judge it, I condemn this speaking. Just to speak it out, to resist it, this already does something within me. Amen.
As
the Lord said, that we should resist sin. We have not yet resisted unto bloodshed, striving against sin. For this I really have to exercise my will. That's why the altar also has horns.
Diese Hörner,
these horns on the four corners of the altar.
Hier sieht man das an den vier Ecken.
In the four corners, there are four horns.
Die Hörner sind ein, stehen für die Kraft in der Bibel.
Horns always represent power, strength in the Bible. Why are they on the burnt offering altar? Because sin has really weakened us. Sin has really made us weak. As the Lord told them that they should pray with him for 1 hour, they couldn't. They fell asleep. And then what did the Lord say? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Also, when it's about being holy or to leave a certain sin, and we always have this excuse, oh, the sin is so strong and I'm so weak. This thing is too strong for me to overcome. This is our situation because sin has made us weak. But the word also says that Christ died for us as we were still weak.
Ja, dass er für uns gestorben ist, als wir noch schwach waren.
He died for us while we were still weak.
Gibt es diese Hörner.
That's why it shows that this altar has these horns to resist sin. We are weak, but that's why Romans said he sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and condemned sin in the flesh. Amen. Yeah. The law could not do it in that it was weak through the flesh, but through these horns, we can resist sin. Amen. Praise the Lord for this. We have no more excuses to say, I am too weak to be holy. No, we have to say, Lord, you are these horns. I really cling, hold fast to you as my strength, and I resist this thing, this matter. Praise the Lord for the horns.
Viele Sachen. Wir möchten vielleicht freundlich sein oder möchten
maybe
keinen Kommentar sagen.
We want to be friendly and don't want to say anything bad. But even there we think, oh, I'm so weak. But we have to purge out also this leaven. The Lord strengthens us and gives us the strength to resist sin now.
Und dann, wenn wir weitergehen,
and if we continue,
genau, sehen wir hier die Höhe.
Here we see the height of the burnt offering altar. It's 3 cubits.
Das ist, ja, warum 3 ellen?
Why 3 cubits? What does 3 mean in the word? On the one hand, it represents the triune God, but at the same time, also the day of resurrection. And these 3 cubits, here you see that the grate is also made of bronze, and it's midway up the altar.
It
shows that of 3 cubits, that the sun was split into two. That shows us the death of the Lord, that he was judged. And there are two parts. There's a 1.5 cubits above the grate, 1.5 cubits below the grate. And this is a picture of the death and resurrection of the Lord.
Here, unten ist der Tod.
On the bottom, there's death. But he didn't just remain dead, he also rose again. These two always belong together.
Wir wollen alle die Auferstehung erfahren.
We all want to experience the resurrection.
Ja, guten Eigenschaften.
We all want to experience the good characteristics of the Lord, the life of the Lord, the humanity of the Lord.
Ja, sogar die Galater, wo diese Frucht des Geistes ist,
die in Galatians, where there's the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, meekness. We all want this. Even the people in the world want this. But how can these fruits be brought forth? It requires judgment. The death of the Lord has to be there. We have to experience his death. Yeah, so that the fruit can be born, so that there would be resurrection. All want to have the fruits, but no one wants to experience the judgment. And that's why there's too little fruit in us. Oh, but if we experience the judgment of the Lord in his death, if we put all these things and put them to death, then there will be resurrection. Then fruit will come forth. We cannot make ourselves holy or change ourselves. And all these things like love and meekness. We also cannot make ourselves holy. We don't have this characteristic. That's why it begins with experiencing his death first, that we put things into death. Then he adds the fruit. Then he gives his resurrection. Praise the Lord.
Hier unten dieser Gitter,
and that's why this grate represents death and resurrection. Below, it's the ashes. Everything that is judged falls below. And above, on the burnt offering altar, that's where the offerings come. Praise the Lord for the offerings.
Wir möchten alle bei dem Bild zu bleiben. Wir möchten alle die Menschlichkeit des Herrn erfahren.
We all want to experience the humanity of the Lord. We all want to be obedient. But this picture shows us that without judgment, without the death of the Lord, there is also no resurrection.
Wenn nur dieser obere Teil wäre, dann wird
we only had this upper part, the 1.5 cubits, then the altar would collapse. It can't just be in the air. But there's an upper part and a lower part. It shows us how he wants to judge us through judgment and through Christ as our offering. The Lord fulfilled every offering. The offerings really fulfill all our lack. So the judgment is not just the negative, but the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, sin offering, really fills all our lack and is capable of changing us. Praise the Lord. Through the offerings, we are really able to be saved and transformed. We come from the outside, from a very unholy area. We have learned a lot of things, taken a lot of things with us, and it's in us. But we want to enter the holiest of holies, the holy of holies. How can we enter? How can we be sanctified? How can we be perfected? It's through the judgment of the Lord and through the offerings where we can truly be saved and transformed. So his judgment is not to destroy and to break. but by his stripes we are healed. Through his offerings we are made healthy. Praise the Lord. That's why the Lord shows us that the offerings are not just sins for offering for our sins, that he just died for our sins, but the offerings show us the whole scope of what he has done for us, that he can fill all the lack in us. When we think about the offering, we think a lot about him as our sin offering, that he also, and our trespass offering, that he forgives us. But actually, they show us, actually, though, how he fills all our lack. This is the first offering, is the burnt offering. The biggest problem is not only our sin, but is that we only think about ourselves. We have our own plans. Maybe they're not evil plans, but they're plans that are in a completely different direction from God. And for this, we need Christ as our burnt offering, that we learn to be obedient. The meal offering, outside of the tabernacle, we just learned how to deal with one another, that we make fun of one another, that we are really unloving, that we're lazy, that we avoid all types of suffering, difficulty. This is what you learn in the world. This is how we've grown up. But the Lord wants to sanctify us. He wants to make our humanity pure. And for this, we need the Lord as our meal offering. As we were kids at home, small kids, we learned a lot of things in the playground or at school. And we brought a lot of things home, curse words, certain attitudes, behaviors, things that you learn at school, playground at the school. And at home, there was often judgment. You will not use this word at home. So it reminded me of this picture. Outside, we learn so many things. And we come into the house of the God. We also need judgment. But the Lord doesn't just give us judgment to say, don't do this. But he also gives us food. He gives us himself as his as the offering, the meal offering, to live in the new man. This is often what was missing. We knew what we weren't allowed to do, but sometimes it was missing for us to know, to have the food as the Lord as the meal offering, to show us the way we should be. We need to experience him not just in a superficial way, but our inward being, we are just different from him. We perceive things differently. We sense things differently. Above all, if certain circumstances come, like new circumstances that the virus brought about, but regardless of the circumstance, the Lord was always one with the Father and was at peace with him. He was not tossed to and fro by his circumstances, but he was one with the Father. He could work with him for his work. So the Lord, as our peace offering, deals with our inward being, inmost part, so that we can be one with him in a deep way. We can enter into the offerings a lot. But you can look at the verses that are in the outline. But I really thank the Lord for the burnt offering altar, because it really shows us how this way from outside into the tabernacle, how it looks. And the first thing we see is this altar. The Lord carried the judgment, bore the judgment for us, And he wants us to experience the judgment in us and wants to fill all our life. That we would also experience the death as well as him as the offerings, because this is the way through which he can sanctify us completely. There are people who say, we don't need any offerings because Christ has already done everything. But the burnt offering altar shows us we need the offering, because this is how he can bring us to the goal. This is how he can sanctify us completely.
To
say that we don't need the offerings and they're not so important. The Pharisees said this in Matthew.
Weil sie dachten, wichtig ist, was ich für Gott tue und mein Dienst.
Yeah, they said, they thought that the important stuff was their service for God. But your service for God is nothing if you do it without the altar. That's why the Lord shows us, if we experience the altar and the offerings that fill all our lack, then we really have a way to be sanctified, and then our service for him will truly be well-pleasing to him. Praise the Father for this picture. May it really help us enter into the full experience.
Amen. Lob den Herrn. Halleluja.
Ja, danke für diesen Weg. Danke.